is preeminently the time to speak the truth, the whole truth, frankly and boldly. The only thing we have to fear is fear itself.
Today's show is brought to you by Paul's Automotive. Paul's Automotive is located at 634 Route 46 in Kenville, New Jersey. If you want a master mechanic who has over 38 years of experience with quality work, he's your guy to call. He strives to keep you in a safe and reliable vehicle, and his goal is to make your experience as pleasurable and convenient as possible. It's not like you're dropping your car off and you're getting somebody named Joe Blow who's working on your car. Paul's the guy that'll be working on your car, and he gives you a reasonable price. We're proud to say that he's helped Autism Radio many times to keep our vehicle safe and reliable on the road. So he's your guy to give a call today at 973-584-1035. Remember, he's always committed to quality, and he's pleasurable to work with, and he is very helpful. So give him a call today at 973-584-1035 today.
Welcome back to AutismRadio.org, home of the world's first autism support radio network and proud 501c3 charitable organization, helping families challenged with autism every day get services they desperately need. Please help us make a difference in the autism community and find it in your heart to support 1 in 88 families in America today. Donate directly at AutismDonation.org. Now, stay tuned for a special broadcast of Hope Saves the Day with autism activist, super dad and author of The Spectrum Diet, Master Chef and the Hope Man himself, your host, Paul Simmons.
Thank you for that great introduction. As always, it's great to be back on another edition of Hope Saves the Day. Also like to welcome back to the program my co-host, Lynn Glukoff.
Hey, Paul. How are you?
Good, 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 Lynn. It's great to have you back on today. We have a great topic. That was our social media question of the week. It was about, given the summer months are here, we wanted to know how your child with autism likes the water. Also, does your child or adult with autism know how to swim? And also, let us know about pros and cons of going with your child or adult with autism in pools or beaches. Do you have to worry about them running off into the water with no sense of safety at all? Lynn's had some tremendous responses to this question. I know I have some great stories to share with my own personal stories with this. Lynn, share some of the responses from the listeners.
Okay. Actually, most of the people that responded to me, to us, on our social media pages said that the kids really enjoyed the water. The first person said the boys don't like the beach, the sand, and the heat, but a pool, they live in it. Both can swim well. I believe one is higher function than the other one. One knows his limits. He doesn't go over his head. The other one just swims. They both wear goggles. It's a must. Swim underwater, and we watch them, always an adult in the pool with an adult in the pool. They swim. Next person said her daughter likes the pool, but when it's hot, if it's cooler, she won't get in the pool. A lot of people have said that kids, this is sort of a running theme, seemed to be, that the temperature affects whether the child goes in the pool or not, which I have noticed with our, we have an above ground pool that we just put in actually this past weekend, and Michael used to like, well, he loves the pool too, so he'll stand in the pool and start screeching like crazy. He gets so excited. But yeah, that was another thing. Next person said, my kids can swim well enough for the pool, but not the beach. One said, my oldest loves it and will stay in the water for hours. Fortunately, elopement hasn't been an issue for us, and they are in high school now. Hopefully it never will be. I didn't get any of the elopement. Okay. Next person said, once her son gets in, we can't get him out, but sometimes he's a bit hesitant at first until he realizes what everything is. That's another one with the temperature, I think. And the last person said, my daughter can doggy paddle, but because of hypotonia, loses stamina. I have a pool in the yard and have realized she is only comfortable in the low and where her feet can actually touch the ground. That being said, I still watch her like a hawk. And those were the responses that I got.
Oh, that's great. You know, it's interesting. You know, you hear from different parents how a lot of kids like water, and some kids don't. And we've gone through multiple transitions with Jonathan over the years. We went through one phase where he was not afraid of the water at all, and he would jump in with no fear at all, both in the pools and also in the ocean. You know, we would be on the beach, and he would beeline for huge waves way over his head right into the ocean. And that was a real pain in the neck because I used to have to, like, hang on to him and, you know, because he couldn't swim.
Right.
So it was really scary. And then he stopped going in pools. He was desperately death grip, grab onto you, not go in the pool. And it's kind of ironic because, I mean, one of the reasons why we started the Swim for Hope program was for Jonathan to teach him water safety, to get him into the pool, because it's a great therapy for kids with autism to swim in the water. It's a tremendous exercise for them. And a lot of kids like it. Well, I couldn't get him in the pool. I mean, we struggled week and week and week every week, and he would not go in. We got him in like once for a few minutes, and he basically grabbed the side and jumped right out. He did not want to be in the water. But with the ocean, it's different. And it's funny, you know, I don't know if any parents have gone through this. I know Jonathan, you know, just asphyxiates himself with sand. He loves to grab the sand, and he especially loves to grab the sand with both hands and throw it in the air. And of course, there's always tends to be somebody close by that shouldn't be at the time and get sand on him. And of course, I got to apologize. Oh, I'm very sorry, you know.
Right, right.
And I go through the whole story. But I think the best one was, and I got to share this because this is funny. There was a lady, I don't know what she, I guess she was, I don't know, getting seashells or whatever. She bent over, and he literally smacked her on the rear end. And it was, like, really embarrassing.
Oh my God.
Yeah, it was really embarrassing. And, you know, I said, oh, I'm so sorry, you know. And I'm saying to myself, you know, I'm looking at him, and, you know, it's like he can get away with those things. That's not good.
Right.
And, you know, I was like, oh, Mary. And the woman's face was like, she turned beet red, too. I think she was very embarrassed, too. And I just apologized. I said, oh, I'm sorry. You know, he has autism, you know. And she says, oh, it's okay, you know. She was very nice about it.
How much sand could it have been? Was it like a lot of sand? Is that why he...
Well, no, that wasn't sand. Actually, he just smacked her in the rear end.
Smacked?
Yeah, he just...
Okay.
Yeah,
he's throwing sand.
Yeah, he throws sand, and, you know, he's gotten sand on people before, you know, that walk by, because, you know, what he does, he throws it so high in the air, so it, like, blows, like, it's
right.
like scatters. It's like
right,
it's
right.
like shrapnel. It just goes everywhere, and, you know, he throws it up in the air, and he laughs, and, I mean, he'll do that for hours. So what I like to do is keep him kind of, I walk him down far end to the beach, try to keep him, like, kind of away from the mass crowds, you know,
mm-hmm.
and just let him play in the sand, and he'll just dig with his hands and get in there.
I have a story about that.
And, you know, it's definitely good stuff. So, yeah.
Michael,
go ahead.
He eats the sand. He was eating the sand at some point. So we could not take him to the beach. And it's, again, same thing with, like yours. It was like a phase because before this, we used to, as soon as he saw the water anywhere, the beach or whatever, he was fine and he was little and he loved it. He didn't even think about eating the sand. It was like a strange thing.
Yeah. Yeah. Jonathan eats the sand too, actually.
Oh, he does?
He does.
All right.
And I don't know why. It's like so gross. I'm like, don't eat the sand. My God. You know?
Yeah. And it was weird. Like I said, like when he was little, we had gone down to Florida. He was like maybe two or three. My parents were in Florida. And we took him to the beach. He was fine, you know. He loved it. He was all excited. He at least loved to watch the waves crashing and everything. And he actually, we had a pool. With Michael, it was different than with my daughter because I lived in a condo. So we had a community pool. So I had him in the pool from a very young age. So he always loved the water.
Oh, okay.
So I took him in the water all the time when it was just.
You know, that could be a big difference, the fact that he was exposed to it at a young age, where Jonathan was only at the pool, like, you know, we went over a neighbor's house or a relative's house that might have had a pool. So he didn't have a ton of exposure to it. So that could have something to do with it.
Oh, definitely. So he always, like, loved the water and screeching. And actually, I remember we went down to Cape May with him. And every time, actually, I remember my husband and I had to actually. try to bypass every time he even saw the beach. He would have like a temper. He would actually throw a fit because he wanted to go to the beach so badly, and we couldn't go or something. I don't know. So we had to try to like try to escape him even seeing it, because he was like going crazy for it. He really wanted it so badly. And I don't know what the reason was, but for some reason we couldn't go. You know, we're riding a bicycle and he's like screaming for the beach. It's like, we can't go on the beach now. You know, we had to return the bicycles. So we were like turning around. But yeah, he always liked the water. And so, and we don't have a beach, you know, close by here. So we really haven't taken him to the beach that much. But couple of years ago or so, when we took him last couple of times, he was eating the sand, so it was a problem. So we really haven't been taking him. I don't know if the last time if he was eating it or not, but it's a big problem with the mouthing of this. It's just disgusting.
Yeah, it's a stimulation. You know, it's that grit in the mouth. I think they like the way it feels, and I don't know. I mean, I don't know. I'm sure it's happened to you and everybody listening to the program, but you know, you bring food to the beach and.
Yeah,
and you get a little sand on like a potato chip or something. Right. You get it in your mouth and you're like, oh my God. And like,
it's gross,
and it's so bad. And yet, you know, he'll take a handful of sand and put it in his mouth. And like, you're like, oh my God. Like,
it's
an extreme sensory, I guess. It's just so extreme that he craves it, I guess, you know?
I don't know. Michael's, I don't know if other people listening to this, but I'm finding now he's mouthing again. Like, he goes through phases of the mouthing. Like, now he's mouthing again, and he wasn't for, like, many, many years. And all of a sudden, he started again, like, just needing something in his mouth all the time. So we've kind of trying to do what I did last time, was keep putting Tic Tacs in it. But in his mouth, just handing him Tic Tacs. He's just craving something in his mouth all the time. I don't know. It's like it's a developmental thing. I think it's a developmental thing. But actually, anyway, we have a pool now, and he just like, you know, it's just an above ground, one of those ones that you buy. And we actually bought it for him because just to keep him busy every weekend. He could stay in there for hours. He was just in there this past weekend. My husband was putting the pool together. And Michael's sitting there, I mean, literally panting, like looking out the window, watching my husband and going insane, like just could not wait to get in the water.
Oh, jeez.
It didn't matter how cold it was.
Right.
Or anything, right? He just loves the water, Michael, but he doesn't know how to swim. But luckily, he really doesn't go under, and he's so tall that it's a 3-foot pool. He's 6'2" or whatever. So
up to his waist, basically, you know.
Yeah, he can. Yeah. From my daughter, he knows a little bit, like he can kind of like start lifting his feet up a little bit now and
okay.
Kind of learning how to hold on and to like, we have like a little tire thing and he can, you know, do that. Obviously we have to watch him 24/7.
Well, what's real good, Lynn, you know, is one of the things we do in the swim program, if you can get a chance to get him to like a bigger pool,
right.
You get one of those like body boards and they use those like under, you know, under him and just learn to kick his feet.
Right.
And that's what helps propel them. And eventually they kind of get it and it works. And it's amazing how these kids get it after a while, you know?
Yeah. I was thinking about the swim program when we were putting together the question. I said, this is definitely, you know, a great chance to talk about what we've done with the swim program, with Autism Radio. Cause I'm just so proud of that. It's such a great thing that we've done. With these autistic kids, because most of them, and like I said, like you could see from my answers, most of these kids really do love the water. I mean, I don't know that many. I didn't get any responses from people that said no, my kids hate the water. Did you hear from anybody?
No. Everybody pretty much said they like the water. I mean, my son though is funny though, Lynn. Like right now, he kind of does hate the water. It's weird.
Really?
Yeah, because he will not go into a pool. I mean. You know, it'll be interesting. We'll see this year when we finally do hit the beach and stuff. You know, we'll
right.
see how he does, and I'll definitely follow up with everybody. But, I mean, usually he'll, like, maybe run to the water, get maybe up to his shin deep. That's about it. And run right back out. You know,
okay.
So he'll do races, I call him. Because but, you know, I don't know how he does it because he'll go for hours running in and out.
My God, that's what Michael
and I don't know how he has the energy to do that. I mean, I used to, you know, I actually ran with him for years and like
right.
I was getting to work. I was exhausted at the end of the day. I mean, as soon as I sat in a chair, I eat my sandwich or something, I'd fall asleep, you know, I'd be passing out, you know. It's
well,
really
actually, it's funny that you say that. We did have that with Michael last year and we'll see same thing here with last summer. And he didn't, of course, this was the first time this past weekend that he was in, but the water was pretty cold. I don't know how he stayed in as long as he did, because my daughter said it was pretty cold. She said she was only in for a little bit. Michael was in for, like, hours. But he also, last year, it was like a stim for him. He was like going in and out and in and out and in and out of the water. And I don't know if it was that it was too cold. You know, last summer was really not that hot here in Jersey.
No, that's true. It wasn't. And the East Coast in general was kind of a cool
summer.
Yeah,
it wasn't that hot of summer. So he,
this summer hasn't been too hot yet either, really.
Exactly. So I was worried about him going in, but he couldn't wait to go in that water. But then I do remember when he was little, it's funny that you said that about Jonathan, because we had that with Michael, too, when we went to the beach. I don't know when it was, now how old he was, but I remember saying to my husband, this is really not relaxing, like running after
him. No, it's not.
Going in and out of the, he was the same thing. He'd go in and up and down, and back and forth, and back and forth, and back and forth. I guess it's sort of a stimulus, you know.
Yeah. I usually was on duty, too. Like, my wife would tend to grab a book
and
under the umbrella, reading a book, and meanwhile, I'm like, you know, playing goalie here. I'm chasing after him, you know, and trying to stop him from going in the water.
He was younger, so he was definitely a little faster, maybe. I don't know. He kind of slowed down a little bit, if that gives you any hope. I don't know.
Oh, no. Jonathan's even faster and stronger now, so it's even worse, you know.
Oh, really?
But he does listen pretty good. If I tell you, you know, I tell him to stop, you know, he will stop in his tracks. He's pretty responsive to, you know, when I give him a verbal, you know, cue or command. Yeah, no, he's definitely come a long way. In that respect.
I think that Michael being, it's weird. Like I said, so many changes this year, but I think part of puberty, he's slowed down a lot. Like now I see him, my side of the family. He's just slower, you know, more, he's more relaxed, honestly, with puberty, which is strange because you would think it would be the other way around, but he just seems more mellow. He can chill more. He's not as fast. Like he's kind of slow. He's slow. Huh. I don't know, you know, what happened.
That's funny, you know, we were talking about how one of the kids, the moms were saying he wears goggles, you know, they like that to keep the water out of their eyes.
Right.
And, you know, Jonathan, it's funny because, you know, when I think about water, I also think about his showers, too, because he only likes the shower water, like, from his shoulder and below. He doesn't like any water up near his face or head at all.
Right,
and
he
fights us on that. So the funny thing was, and I remember this actually, it was a few years ago, we went to the beach, and, you know, he was going in and out of the water like, you know, like a zip line. I mean, he was in and out.
Right, right.
And, you know, the wave came and it hit, and he got his face wet, and that was it. And he stayed away from the water for a while.
Maybe that's why,
so maybe that ruined it for him. I don't know.
Yeah,
I mean, I was kind of happy because I was tired of chasing him in and out of the water because I was so afraid that, you know, he'd go in and go right under and get pulled out into the ocean, you know.
Right. That's scary, yeah.
It is scary because he can't swim.
He's
I call him like a rock. He's built like Rocky, you know. He just sinks, you know. It's like he's all muscle, you know. He doesn't have an inch of body fat on him, you know. He's just a solid rock. I mean, if he goes in the water, he'll sink. He's like a boxer. Like, you ever heard of a boxer dog breed? If they jump in the water, they'll just sink. You know, they're all weight.
Right.
They just they like rocks, you know, and he's the same way. He just does not float. Like my daughter, she's like, you know, she's like an octopus. She swims, you know, like a fish all over the place, you know.
Oh, that's good.
You know, she's lightweight compared to him and proportionate wise, you know.
Right, right.
You know, but, you know,
I have the opposite. Like Michael's more like flab. Like he's 6 foot, but he's like all flab.
Right, right.
And my daughter's like this muscle woman. You know, she's like, now she's in camp, so she's got swim lessons, and she's learning how to swim, like, and she loves it. She's just
it's a great exercise. Water is great, and I think it's also, you know, people need to respect water, too, because it is a hazard, and that's why I think it's important. Like, you know, we try to do the Learn to Swim program with the kids that are, you know, 7 and up now.
Right.
So we try to teach them at least to be able to keep themselves afloat and swim to safety, you know. Of course, you know, the ocean is a whole nother animal, and I always tell parents
right
that.
There,
I said,
yeah.
A pool is one thing. He could swim great in a pool, but if he goes out in the ocean, that's so different because you have rip tides and currents and waves. I mean, it's just a whole nother dimension, too.
Uh-huh.
You know, so I think, you know, definitely, you know, you got to make sure your child's a strong swimmer before bringing him out in the ocean, I think, you know, to swim for sure. I would say definitely stick with the pool. You know, it's safer, you know, although there is so many benefits to the ocean, obviously, because the salt water is very good for the skin and for the body. It really helps chelate a lot of toxins out of the body, believe it or not. The salt water is very, very good for kids and or for anybody. It's very soothing because it's high in magnesium and, you know, so many great things that that are in the sea. So, you know, it's kind of interesting. They actually have done studies where, you know, people that they get rid of their chlorine pools and they go with the saltwater pools and they find that they have, you know, better night's sleep and, you know, all this stuff when they swim for an hour in their pool. So it's kind of interesting, you know. So it kind of makes sense because your skin is a sponge, you know, so it's absorbing anything around you. So if you're in the ocean, you know, you're soaking up all these minerals and stuff from the sea.
Right, more natural, right.
And these kids, and I, almost every parent I've ever talked to, their kids sleep like rocks. When they're on vacation at the beach, those kids that night, they sleep the best night's sleep they can get. And the parents, too. They're exhausted.
I grew up 20 minutes from the beach, and we went, like, every weekend. So, like, that's the only thing I really I miss from Long Island. My friends who listen, we went, like, all the time. So I used to love the beach. But now here in Jersey, I'm so far from the beach. It's just, like, a whole different world. But, yeah, I used to find it really relaxing and soothing. And then it was just funny because I think it was for my 40th birthday or something. My husband surprised me with a trip to the beach, just the two of us. And I was like, oh, no Michael to run after.
That was great. That was
I really missed his relaxing.
That was like a real relaxing day for you, for sure.
Yeah, just really relaxing. I'm like, oh, this is great. Like, why can't we do this more often, you know? But it's a big drive from here. I mean, we're up in North Jersey, so it's, you know, it's a big drive from here.
Right.
And the whole state goes every weekend. It's just a whole different thing than Long Island where, you know, it's 20 minutes, no traffic, and you're at the beach, you know? So it was just growing up, I guess I was kind of spoiled. We went, like, constantly to the beach. And I don't know if it's like the tides here in Jersey or me just being more aware of it as an older, being older. It's like I'm afraid to go. And I used to be, I think Michael actually sensed my fear. I used to go like in the waves as a kid. I don't know. It changes as an adult, you know? I used to have no problems jumping around in the water. Now I'm like, I feel the tides like swooping me in. I'm like, I don't like that. You know, that makes me nervous. So I kept grabbing Michael's hands and trying to pull him back, which, you know, isn't good either because he probably sensed it.
Well, we want to thank everybody, Lynn, for, you know, writing in about that topic. And, of course, you know, send us a message at questions@autismradio.org if you want to share your swimming story or your beach story with us through the summer. You know, we can also squeeze in on each show, even if it's an older question, we can still talk about it on the air. So if you want to write to us or call our toll-free number at 1-877-HOPE-777. We got a great letter, Lynn. I wanted to read this, and I don't know if you saw it on the website or not, but we had one of our families that we helped recently wrote us a beautiful, beautiful testimonial, and they said, thank you so much for the great opportunity you have provided for their daughter. She was diagnosed with autism at age 3, and since she's been looking for as much information and resources that she can get to help her little girl, she actually had to stop working. And she knows that the costs of these therapies are just so high for them that they can't afford many of them. And she actually researched equine therapy and read so many testimonials of people that had benefited from it and always wanted to try it. But unfortunately, the prices, you know, she said it was something that she could not afford. And she says, basically, thanks to you, Autism Radio, that the dream has become a reality. And the words cannot express how grateful we are. And she has already done 3 lessons, and she's doing incredibly amazing. And her father and her were so emotional during their first lesson when she yelled, "Hey, look at me." This was the first time we ever heard her ask for attention, although we always give it to her, she says. She asked, and we were laughing and crying at the same time. And that was from Fanny O. And she said, thank you, thank you, thank you. And we really appreciate that because it's nice to hear about, you know, some of the work. You know, we do a lot of things for families, and sometimes we hear from them and sometimes we don't. So we like to hear from that because, you know, and with you out there, your support and making a donation, you can make a child's dream come true just like that. So, you know, be sure to donate on autismradio.org. We can still be for our big event on Friday, September 18th, from 7 to 11, New Jersey. This is our annual community night. Very, very excited to say I'm live here with you. Nico, legend New Jersey of Kenico, will be joining us for this night on September 18th from 7 to 11. And you can go to autismradio.org to purchase tickets, or you can contact me or any of the members from Autism Radio to purchase tickets directly as well. So, you know, tickets are starting to sell pretty quick. Today we just sold 20 online. So they are starting to move now as September, you know, is getting closer. And, you know, people usually wait a little bit to see what their schedules are like. But this is definitely an event you don't want to miss, guys. And we might have some other surprises I heard, too. But like I said, I don't announce them until I know it's official. But it is official that Kenny Denico, the New Jersey Devil legend, will be attending the event. So we're really, really excited to have him be a part of our festivals that night. And hopefully we'll raise a lot of money for our programs and our kids in the autism community. So really excited and looking forward to that, Lynn.
Yeah, I can't wait.
So we just want to thank everybody, as always, for the continued support here on the program on Autism Radio and Hope Saves the Day. So if you have any questions or anything, please email us again at questions@autismradio.org. And also call our toll-free number at 1-877-HOPE-777. And also don't forget to go and like our Facebook page and become a member. And Lynn does a great job with the social media. And you can go on there and talk with Lynn, too, if you have any questions. You know, just have some great moms out there in the autism community do a great job. And also I'd like to thank all the Autism Radio team for all their hard work and efforts here on Autism Radio. Mr. Rob Katz, Mr. Scott Nagel, Mike Capizano, John Simmons, and of course Lynn Glukoff as well, and also all our advisory council members, which they know who they are. They're a big part of this team and pushing Autism Radio forward in 2015. Really looking forward to everything that we can accomplish and make some dreams come true. So be a part of it and make a donation today at donations.org, or you can go to autismradio.org and hit the donate button and send a nice donation to help a family in need today, guys. So thank you as always. And remember, until next time, everybody, hope saves the day. Good night, everyone.
Every time I see your smile, I wonder what you feel. Every time you laugh or cry, I wonder if it's real. You seem trapped inside. Please help me understand, what is your world like? I want to feel your love. I want to know what it's like to laugh and play. Imagine a thought that you cannot feel, a tear trapped inside. Imagine a sound that you cannot make, no matter how hard you try. I want you to know how I'm feeling. I want you to know how it feels to be me. I wish you could look into my world and see how I see. Hold my hand and remind me to hold on to hope each day. Let this song be my voice. And remember, hope saves the day. Show you what I see. What kind of life will I have? What's in store for me? Don't be afraid, just love and hold me. I can be all that I can be. With your love I can do anything. With your love I can see the world like rays of light shine upon me, inside of me. There you are right by my side. I will love you till the end of time. Hold my hand and remind me to hold on to hope. Let this song be my voice. And remember, hope saves the day.